Welcome to the Bards FM podcast. This is Scott Kesterson, and tonight you're listening to Memetics and the Virus of the Mind. This war is real. Fighting is everything. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Tempt not the righteous man to draw his sword. Conviction, righteousness, ruthlessness. To understand tolerance, you have to understand the line of intolerance. War is the teacher, soldiers are the students. They become the bards of war.
Good evening, patriots. Tonight is Friday, October 29th, and it's getting near the end of the month, and I'm sure everybody's getting all prepared for... Nope, you're not. Halloween. I hope not. What a crazy day that is. You can do Halloween. I guess you can't dress up like a Native American because it's going to be gender appropriation. You can't dress in like a spider because you're going to offend somebody that loves spiders. You can't dress like Superman unless you're gay, because Superman now is gay, very, very gay. You can't dress like Batman because you'll be considered a terrorist, because that's the new Batman. He's actually a terrorist. Can't dress like Captain America because I think he's become gay too. Well, if you're gay, you can do all those things. That's good. I'm not, so I won't. And if you dress like you're an American, then you are going to be thrown in jail for being a terrorist, domestic terrorist. Oh, by the way, just wanted to make a warm welcome this evening to NSA, FBI, CIA, and any other DHS agency that's listening in. We just wanted to let you know that this is a station that openly declares itself to be domestic terrorists. That's what we are. So welcome and enjoy the show. All right, patriots, before we get going tonight, I want to make a quick call out for our great backer and supporter of patriots across this nation, Mike Lindell. Fantastic. We love Mike Lindell. We love his company, MyPillow. We love all things about it, and it is the one company that you can count on that's going to get you some great stuff to give you great sleep and comfort in your home, with knowing that every part of that dollar in one way or another is supporting liberty. So we are greatly honored to have our own Bards page on MyPillow. So head on over to MyPillow.com/Bards. MyPillow.com/Bards. Check it out. Take advantage of the great savings across the entire site. There's some featured items on the Bards page, which you can cruise the entire site. And what is your promo code? I know it's tough, but here it goes. Bards, B-A-R-D-S. That's right. B-A-R-D-S. And what is it that you're going to want to find when you get over there? Well, you better have a MyPillow pillow. That's all I'm going to tell you. You better have a MyPillow pillow, because if you're not going to have a MyPillow pillow, you're kind of missing the whole essence of the foundation of MyPillow. So they've got MyPillow pillows on sale right now, and they're 75% off with your promo code, and that's fantastic. I have two. I saw someone here that says they have five. There's not a better thing to do than to give to family members a MyPillow pillow. You can also get some My Slippers. They're 50% off. Or you can get the Giza sheets. Buy one, get one free. They are crazy comfortable. I don't even understand what they do. It's like put some sort of magic in the weave, I'm telling you. Doggy beds, towels, comforters, mattress toppers, mattress. And you can even get Mike Lindell's book with three Patriot My Pillows to go with it for $49.98. That's all with your promo code BARDS. So head on over there and get that deals going for him. Get your family gifts for Christmas, MyPillow.com/BARDS. Your promo code is BARDS, and you're not going to be disappointed. It's all great stuff. And I use so much of it, and I'm glad I do. Also, Expedition Coffee, XPED, Expedition Coffee. This coffee rocks, and I am so happy to have our name on it, and I am so discriminating about where our name goes on it. Expedition Coffee is awesome. It gives you that boost in the morning, and it's one cup of coffee for me for the entire day. It's totally awesome. And so it's a one scoop, get that coffee going. It helps keep your mental focus all day long, keep you clear focused, keeps your energy up. Kind of puts on a caffeine super duper armor around you, and it just gets you through the day. And it helps heal and seal your gut too, which is so important, because in this time of health, when we're becoming more aware that we are the way to take care of our health, and we're trying to get away from institutionalized terrorism known as hospitals, you want to take good care of yourself. So there's three other products when you get to that site, Expedition Coffee, XPED, expeditioncoffee.com, which you can also find by going to bardsfm.com and clicking on that super cool logo, which I'm very proud of because our graphic designer did it, and she's a patriot, and she's a BDAD. So there you go. So expeditioncoffee.com. And so you want to go on over to expeditioncoffee.com, and that's XPED, and you check out those other three items, gut health triad. That is super important to maintaining our whole body health. We've got Immune XP, which has pine cone extract and humic and fulvic acid and other great things in it. It's a one-of-a-kind immune booster, and of course, Pure 47, which is a spherical super nano, which means small, not as in nanotech, nano silver supplement that has absolutely been rocking it when it comes to isolating these spike protein nonsense and all this other junk that's in our world that they keep pumping in to try to kill us. All of these things are designed to boost your immune system, increase your whole body health, seal your gut, and give you clarity through the day. Those are great products. Check them out. They make great products for your emergency medical cabinet, for your daily use. I use them daily. And that's part of keeping your health strong and keep making sure you don't have to go to those hospitals where you have a 76% chance of dying if you go to a hospital and they swab you and decide you have COVID, which is about 100% chance you're going to get that. That is a real statistic, by the way. Can you believe that? Crazy. So anyway, check those products out. MyPillow.com/Bards, promo code Bards, or Expedition, XPED, expeditioncoffee.com. And away we go. All right. So I don't know if you've been watching the news, because it's kind of crazy. And the thing about the news is a process of, as we know, the news is a process of programming your mind. Now, tonight, we're going to talk about memetics and the virus of the mind. And this is a subject that's very near and dear to my heart, because I studied it a lot when I was working with Department of Defense and Special Operations. And it was kind of a fringe science there. And ironically, when you leave tonight, you're going to understand something, at least this is how I see it. We talk a lot about the Q project. And other than the fact that there's a whole bunch of Q worshipers, which kind of drive me crazy, I think you're going to discover tonight with some pretty hard data, I mean, through the discussions of this, that Q was, in my opinion, a military operation designed around what was a really profound science known as memetics. And so we're going to talk about that tonight. So let's begin with where the title of the show is Memetics and the Virus of the Mind. The Virus of the Mind is actually a book by Richard Brody that was written in 2011. Let me read you a quote. It's quite interesting. The meme is the secret code of human behavior, a Rosetta Stone finally given us the key to understanding religion, politics, psychology, and cultural evolution. That key, though, also unlocks Pandora's box, opening up such sophisticated new techniques for mass manipulation that we may soon look on today's manipulative TV commercials, political speeches, televangelists as fond remembrance of the good old days. The word meme was coined by Oxford biologist Richard Dawkins in his 1976 book, The Selfish Gene. Since then, it has been tossed about by Dawkins and other evolutionary biologists, psychologists such as Henry Plotkin, and cognitive scientists such as Douglas Hofstadter and Daniel Dennett, in an effort to flesh out the biological, psychological, and philosophical implications of this new model of consciousness and thought. The meme has a central place in the paradigm shift that's currently taking place in the science of life and culture. In the new paradigm, we look at cultural evolution from the point of view of the meme rather than the point of view of an individual or society. Now, this is a profound insight into really the whole concept of memes. And I've talked about this previously, quite a while ago, in fact. I think it was almost a year ago when I did a show on this. But when you look at what memes are and we take them for granted and we have kind of, that's become part of the dialogue of the digital war. Memes are really deep. And part of the reason they're deep is how they work. Because memes, if you remember, when memes first started, people didn't really understand the concept of memes. It was kind of a fringe idea. And when I first was studying memetics, memetics was, again, very fringe. But if you remember through the Q process, memes were basically taught. And what's really profound when you look at memes is we were also seeing how memes were being responded to by AIs. And we had to get, we learned over time how to assess the effectiveness of memes both culturally and through the effectiveness of memes through the AI filters. And that was a real interesting part of the Q experience, is that was that teaching was actually being transmitted across the whole spectrum. Now, memetics is the study of the working of memes, how they interact, replicate, and evolve. So that's when we talk about memes, the concept of memetics is looking at how they actually function, okay? But memes themselves have a master definition, which I'll get to, but I want you to hear the three different categories of how memes are seen through different disciplines in science. So biologically, the meme in the biological sciences, the meme is referred to as the basic unit of cultural transmission and imitation. In the psychological disciplines, the meme is a unit of cultural heredity analogous to the gene. It is the internal representation of knowledge. And in the cognitive sciences, the meme is an idea, the kind of complex idea that forms itself into distinct memorable units. It is spread by vehicles that are physical manifestations of the meme. Now, the way that we use memes now is a combination of all of those. And it's when you think about what a meme does, a meme is taking an idea. Maybe it's a bad behavior. Maybe it's a good behavior. Maybe it's something, whatever it is. And we're representing the meme in both a visual aspect that includes color, context, and it also is a word use. So a meme, as we use them in the most aggressive senses, is a single snapshot to transmit an idea that ultimately is trying to break through cognitive programming barriers. That works two directions. Remember that, because we're being inundated with memes daily, and our fight back is to use memes as a weapon system to rupture that memetic programming that's going on in our culture. And our job as digital soldiers for a long time has been to use memetics, the science of memetics, the use of memes, to create literally mind viruses that will sort through and rip through this programming to destabilize the fix that the Matrix has on so many people's minds. Now, this applies across domains. Let me tell you, I've said this before, but when you look at kind of how, and I'm not applying memetics to Christ, so be careful here, but the process that Christ used in his interaction with people creates these sort of mimetic experiences for people that leave them questioning their reality. And we'll get to that at the end. But it's a very powerful process that as we begin to understand it, we understand truly the depth of the weapon systems that are being deployed against us and how we're going to counter it. Now, a full definition of a meme as we use it now, a meme is a unit of information in a mind whose existence influences events such that more copies of itself get created in other minds. That's a fantastic concept way of phrasing it. So when we're effective with a meme, we talk about how memes will be shared. Part of the reason they're shared is because they're received, they're accepted. It's a modification or influence of a behavior that someone appreciates, and then it sends it on to someone else. And sometimes those memes are shared in anger, or sometimes they're shared in joy or in fulfillment. But either way, the effect ends up being the same. Now, the critical aspect of memes is to understand kind of what they're doing in your mind. Okay. And we're going to focus kind of on the visual word meme There's a lot of different forms of memes, but we're going to focus on the visual word meme that we're very familiar with in the digital war. But remember, word images can be just as powerful. When we talk about, if I'm talking to people here, or in where we're very aware of biblical stories, if I say salt and light, we immediately have a reference in our head of a visual experience that is there within the text of Scripture. That in itself is a type of meme. I can trigger that response by saying a simple word, a couple simple words. And immediately we have a visual, we have an understanding, we have a context, because that story has been built from our experience in the Bible and the way we talk about it, right? But memes themselves are a real key to how we win or lose this war. Now, a good meme or a successful meme is an idea or belief that spreads easily throughout the population, not necessarily what we think of as good, however, as a good idea, however. So it's a belief or an idea that gets moved. Now, right now, we're being inundated with these with a mimetic science and a mimetic warfare that's dealing with this idea of what? Viruses. Viruses. It's ironic because they're creating a mind virus by using the image of a virus. And that's getting to some initiators that are within us. Now, the most interesting thing about memes is not whether they're true or false. It's that they are building blocks of our mind. That is what makes them equally dangerous, okay? And when we get into that, a virus of the mind is something out in the world that infects people with memes. Those memes in turn influence the affected people's behavior so that they help perpetuate and spread the virus. Well, we're witnessing that on a broad scale right now. And in this broad scale, what we're seeing is this fear component of the virus, this belief in the virus, has become a living experience in people's head. And that is something they're transmitting to others. I just had I know how this conversation went nowhere today, but I had someone reach out to me. I hadn't talked to him for a long time, and I had an item of his I have to get back, and I reached out to him, and he responded back, and literally within, he said, "I'll get you an address," and then he said, "How's the COVID environment treating you?" Well, I immediately know where he is with this. I mean, I immediately know that COVID is wrapped around his world, and he believes in the worship of COVID. And so I responded back and I said, you know, "Thanks for getting, you know, looking forward to get the address. By the way, I'm doing great. Everything's going great. Never took the jab, never going to take the death jab, and never wore a mask. And this whole pandemic thing is nonsense." And of course I get back something like, "Okay, hope, glad you're doing well." I mean, it's disrupted his world, because his world is wrapped around a mimetic theory of fear. Okay. Now, until a few thousand years ago, now I'm going to talk about this. Remember, this is another part of, this is right from his book, and I want to read this. This is another quote. And I keep in mind that he's putting this in context of an evolutionary theory, which is kind of important to understand where he's coming from here. "Until a few thousand years ago, DNA was the foremost method in the known universe for storing and replicating information. That's why you can't talk about evolution without talking about DNA. Evolution is about the replication of information, and almost all the information on Earth was stored in DNA. Today, we have another medium of storing information, one that replicates, mutates, and propagates far, far faster than DNA. Evolution 63, we have a medium so effective at evolution that new replicators can be created, tried, and spread wildly in days, even hours, as compared to thousands of years for DNA. The new medium is so much more interesting and important than DNA to our into our daily lives, that genetic evolution is virtually non-existent by comparison." This is his quote. It's important. "What is the name of this new, ripe, prolific medium of evolution? It's called the mind. And the replicator that evolves in our minds is called the meme. A meme is a replicator that uses the medium of our minds to replicate. Meme evolution happens because our minds are good at copying and innovating ideas, behaviors, tunes, shapes, structures, and so on. End of quote. This is a really, when you put it in context like this, this book was written in 2011. And we know very clearly today that the battlefront that we are on is the battlefront of the mind. And so what the argument is that evolutionarily, when we speak about evolution in the human species, DNA was the old way of looking at evolution. The modern way of evolution is looking at the influence of the mind, essentially using the issues of emetic warfare. Now match that to these agendas that we're dealing with today, transhumanism being at the top of it, the New World Order being another part of it. Build Back Better is a meme. So you start to see how what they're looking at is the warfare of the mind. If they can control the mind, they can actuate their physical strategies much more easily, which we're witnessing. It's the jab. It's this compliance to their idea that, oh, you'll own nothing. You will rent everything and you'll be happy. That sort of nonsense. So we are experiencing the effects of mimetic warfare. Now, the initiators of this are things that we're all common with now under mimetic warfare. Things like crisis. You have to create a crisis, and when you have a crisis, people are listening differently. They're receiving information more openly. When you just come up, when you talk up, come to somebody and you say, I'm anti-vax, you know right away this, if they're not or they're on the fence, they're going to clam up. They're not going to hear you, right? But if you can come to them and if you came to them and said, there's a virus, they're going to listen. Because they're programmed that way. We need a crisis. When we have a crisis, we drop our barriers and our normal common sense and we begin to listen differently. Another part of an initiator for a good mimetic warfare is the mission. People have to know a mission that they're needing to accomplish. An example, we need to raise money for the people in Haiti that had an earthquake. Or on a darker side, we need to get injected. All of us need to be vaccinated at 70% to get herd immunity to help us stay alive. That's the mission. We need a problem. Another initiator is a problem. What is the problem? People are dying because of COVID. People are dying. There has to be danger. If you come near closer than 6 feet to somebody, you're going to get contacted. You're going to get contacted with this COVID thing. And of course, there has to be opportunity. You can help your neighbor by encouraging them to get vaccinated to save everybody. The opportunity is to help one another, okay? These are critical initiators, and this is within the science of mimetics, and this is where we are literally witnessing this right now. But let's look also at the deeper part, the personal motivations or personal vulnerabilities people carry, right? So those are kind of strategic initiators that you have to have one aspect to make it work, and what is that? That's media. You have to have a corrupt, biased, and treasonous media to be able to instigate the initiators effectively so that everybody hears it and everybody has a focus on what's going to do, what they're going to do or how they're going to respond. And obviously what you're trying to do is modify and affect behavior. And once you get that mind virus planted, people are going to spread that fear, that initiator to someone else. That is what the effective meme does. What we have been working on from the opposite direction for the last 4 or 5 years is trying to wake people up. So we've been trying to disrupt the mimetic programming by attacking it with other counteractive memes. So it's mimetic warfare against mimetic warfare. And the strategies of memes to this point have been to try to shake people out to see reality. Interestingly, I will say this. Since Q went quiet, there has not been the level of meme warfare that we saw before. And part of that, too, is the silencing that's occurred on social media. Now we're kind of back at straight news and truth. But it's something to keep in mind because effective memes is an art. And there was a lot of evolution of that early on in this movement. And we haven't seen it as much these days because people have kind of fallen back to, well, I don't have Twitter, so I can't do it. When, in fact, we never really needed Twitter. If you listen, remember some of the things I talked about before and using guerrilla marketing techniques to shake people up and wake people up, we can get back to that. Putting posters up on power lines or light poles, putting posters up in Starbucks, putting business cards out with quick phrases and a visual impact. These sorts of things are memes. And as people see them, they stick. And as long as it's a quick message, a powerful punch message, you'll remember it and you'll move on. Here's one on a very negative side that has surfaced now as part of an ad campaign anticipating the destruction of this vax on children. And it is this: children have strokes too. Listen to those words. Children have strokes too. That was seen on the side of a bus. What they're doing is they're prepping the mind in this battle of warfare to accept that strokes are a new normal. That children are having strokes is a new normal. What is that setting up for? This vaccine campaign that they're putting against children, which is going to stick them with the mRNA, and it's going to start causing blood clots and destroying them. It's known. So they're playing the mimetic warfare on us. Our issue now is to try to fight back. But let's look at some of these personal elements, the personal vulnerabilities that will allow a meme to settle in. And when you hear these, think about Ephesians 6:10-18, the armor of God, and think about the strength of walking with God without fear in the world, the strength of walking graciously and humbly in the world. Listen to these vulnerabilities that go into the effective what make a subject receptive to receiving a meme. The need to belong, meaning they want to belong to a group. Well, we've seen that with the whole COVID thing. People don't have the courage to stand up against it. They want to be part of the group. The need to distinguish yourself. That's ego. I need to be recognized. I'm going to be up here. I need to be a hero. And the minute that happens, it's the lure of money. It's the lure of fame. We've seen that. Caring for others. I care so much about you that I need you to follow me and get the injection as well. Or these ridiculous parents. I care so much about you, darling, my child. I'm going to take you in and have you injected to protect you, even though you have a 0% chance of ever getting COVID. So I'll kill you with a shot instead. Approval. We need to be recognized as approval for doing something good. And that longing to be seen for approval is getting that group, that kind of group support where, did you get your shot? I did. Oh, good. I got mine. That sort of craziness. And the one you're all going to love, which is critical to another critical one in getting memes to stick, is obeying authority. So the threat of obeying, of not obeying is, oh, I must obey, because if I don't, OSHA will come knocking at my door. FEMA might come knocking at my door, whatever that is. So this is the structure of the warfare we're currently getting at. Now, here's an interesting one. And it's what I will call a primal driver, meaning primal behaviors. There's two. There's fear. We know fear. What does the Bible say constantly about fear? Fear not, right? That's God's to us. Fear not. So fear is a primal driver. But here's another one, sex. Sex is a primal driver. I want you to think about how much sex, not just in the porn in the industry, because that's everywhere on the web. That's everywhere. But I want you to think about how sex and sexuality has become a defining element within everything that this world is. How we look, how we are, what type of clothes we wear, how you appear to the opposite sex, how you select your partner, what you see as attractive. Sex is a critical aspect of mimetic control in a society, and these people in power, they understand this very well. Because once that gets initiated, they're deep in your mind and controlling you whether you realize it or not. Think about that really carefully too, because it truly has shaped the way we perceive ourselves and perceive each other. And it immediately creates divisions, it creates separation, and it creates even depressed images of ourselves. And what's the image now that we're seeing? The image now that we're seeing constantly is this: we have to be fit, women have to be thin. Of course, they're trying to undo that lately, but whatever. But I'm saying there is an image set that's sex. Now, I'm going to do a little sidebar here on something just to draw your attention to it, because it's pretty disgusting. if you go back and research models and their images, you'll notice that somewhere around the late 1970s, early 80s, there was discussion in the press about women having smaller breasts in the new models that were coming out. If you look at the history of England in the early 70s, going into the late 70s, you will notice that there was a connection made between the transgender pedophile movement and the gay movement. And they began to, they tried to become a political party. Now, when you consider what Victoria's Secret is, and its true secret is almost all the models are men, that's its secret, you start to understand why they shaped the image shift of women to create a more man-like image, because they were men. And again, that mimetic influence on society has completely transformed the way we see each other, and it's a complete lie. Okay? So primal drivers, is like I said, sex is a big one. Now, the next issue is, how do they make it work? And there's kind of three critical areas in which this operates. One is repetition. What we have can easily recognize as propaganda. The media and their talking points is a great example of this. Repetition, repetition, repetition. No matter what channel you go to, no matter what headline you read, no matter what magazine you pick up, you're locked into an artificial world of their echo chamber, and you're not being aware of it. You stay within that until you start to realize that you're being shaped. But that repetition creates the mimetic effect within people. Another one is a mind paradox. So this is where, by the way, Common Core is based on this, and it's creating mind paradoxes. Common Core is teaching our children in ways that it doesn't rationally make sense, and it's constantly turning the reason, the native truth and rationale in a child over and over, to where quite literally after a certain period of time in school, the child's mind literally cracks. It goes into fragmentation, which is a principle of MKUltra, and then they are creating different, the personality evolves to accept any sort of programming that they give it. That creates this cognitive dissonance that we see. So the mind paradox is a critical issue in how they do things. That's one of the reasons if you're listening to these politicians, or you're listening to Fauci, is a great example. He says one thing and then he says another. So he's constantly changing the position of truth. And when you're awake and you're looking at this, you're like, what in the heck? Why are people listening to him? When they're within the matrix, it is keeping their mind into their trap, because people are accepting the mind paradox as part of the mimetic programming. The third one is the Trojan horse. And this is the most dangerous. And this is the one I've talked about recently, but not in these terms. But I've talked to you about how there are three paths ahead of us, not two. The first path is very clear. If we're walking in the good side, the first path is walking with God and literally separating and walking, having a sort of exodus from this world, putting God before us and trusting that God will take us where we're going to go. The other extreme of that is the evil path. This is the subjection, the bringing people down to a level of enslavement, which they're using their free will to enslave themselves in. But the center path is the Trojan horse. And that's this, what I'm calling MAGA, okay? And when you get here, this is where they get into this. This is where you have the promises of, hey, look here, we're going to come over, we're going to make America great again by just putting in new people, and we're all going to make a lot more money, and it'll all be better, and we'll all go happily home. We're going to have a few arrests, and it's all going to be good, and we're going to reset the world. We all know that's a lie, but there's a portion of it that's true. By resetting people in there, by getting rid of others, we're hearing the truth, but we're missing the deeper negative, the fundamental kernel that makes it all a lie, which is the system itself is rotten. You can't fix it. But in that principle, the Trojan horse takes you down a path of acceptance, and you miss the fundamental kernel of that is absolutely built on a lie. The building of the lie is that you can't fix something that's rotten to its core. You have to tear it down. So as nice as it is to imagine that we're evolving toward a better and probably more civilized, maybe even more compassionate world, the problem is that we're really evolving into a world where memes and mind viruses are being used to create behaviors and outcomes. And the challenge with that is, what exactly do we do? And this is where we have to kind of step back and look deeply at ourselves. All of these triggers, buttons that I mentioned, whether it's sexual drivers, methods of propagation, or the vulnerabilities, or even the initiators of the mimetic warfare, all of that we can in our lives recognize and overcome it. And that's doable. And to that, we can realize that how much greater we can be in this world. But to do that, we have to start looking at how we ourselves are wired. In effect, that is what you've heard me say many times. We have to begin with internal to ourselves to reflect deeply on where we are, who we are, and what's going on within us. Because it's only then, and that's where faith and worship becomes so powerful, because through that process of repentance and acceptance of Christ and walking that path, we're ripping apart a lot of this character programming, these mimetic programming that's within us, and to get deeper into where we can accept God's gifts and talents that are native to us and accept those as gifts and talents, not try to tell ourselves that we can't do them, for example, because I don't have a degree, a PhD, whatever, right? Now, the thing about memes is memes enter our minds without our permission. They become part of our mental programming and they influence our lives without us even being aware of it. And so that's, again, why it's so important that we become aware of what God intends us to be and how we're intended to be in this world, so that we can start to see within that influence space of how we're being pulled left and right. All cultural institutions, regardless of their initial design or intention, if they have any, evolve to have a singular goal, to perpetuate themselves. That's a very important principle. So when we get into this whole idea of government, it is there to perpetuate itself, not to make itself shrink. Critical to all of this, as I mentioned before, is the news process and the information media process. It is the agent of all of this that allows this lie, this mimetic warfare to continue. Take it away and the whole system falls apart. So where does a digital army step in? It is the critical node to saving the world, saving humanity, because it's the only way and the only force that through constant assault with a counter-mimetic warfare that we have the opportunity of breaking people from this matrix of mimetic control. That's the role of the digital army, and it's not small. But the issue that we're confronting is even a little bit more complex than just standard mimetic warfare. The mind viruses that have been created that we're confronting are what we might refer to as designer viruses. And that is that what they've done specifically is to create a system with a language and a constant mimetic theme that's reinforcing them, that is intentionally being built to build not so much a movement, but a cult. Our world right now is divided between two sides, those that are seeking awakening and those that are seeking, that are trying to retract and be safe within the cult. And so we're really at a warfare that's so intense right now that our need to stay strong within our faith, within God, within our foundations and protections is the absolute difference between success or failure here. And we're seeing the effects of some of this because people are peeling off. The way we see it peel off, it's like, oh, I decided to get the jab. You just walk to the other side, right? Now, above I mentioned the Trojan horse. And where I want to kind of close here is the idea of how much impact we can make if we understand the tools of warfare that we're faced with. Right now, after this, all of the saturation, especially in the cult, and the cult doesn't want to hear anything. It's convinced that the shot is good. It's convinced that the virus is real. They're going to live within that state of fear because that state of fear has become their new mimetic reality. And they've accepted that state of fear. So the question is, what can we do? Because in the end of the day, we're getting attacked and they're getting attacked. And so we're having to keep a kind of an armor up. So the first thing that we have to do every day is make sure principally and fundamentally that we're in prayer and we're putting ourselves before God to strengthen ourselves. And we strengthen ourselves through God by doing through a process of repentance and continuing our prayer. That's daily. But we also have to start realizing that there are some mechanisms that we can use in the mimetic science to fight back. And the most effective of those is not repetition, because repetition to repetition is like having a hammer and a hammer hit each other and think that someone's going to win. And mind paradoxes don't work because we can't get to people enough to create a cognitive dissonance within them. But what we can do is we can use the principle of the Trojan horse. And this is where it's very, very effective. And this is where memes in themselves are very effective. So the meme, when it comes into the mind in the visual meme, if you can use it, what's happening is that the conscious mind is going to reject it. That conscious mind is going to take it and go, well, don't want anything to do with it. Out it goes. But it doesn't just leave the mind. The meme in itself, the structure, the visual and the short words, that short hit, just like the one I told you, even though it's negative, when I say kids have strokes too, you get it. So those sorts of powerful short phrases, like, you know, whatever we're going to do, the vax equals death, probably a little too strong. The vax equals blood clots, as an example. Maybe. I'm not even saying it's a good meme. I'm just using that. Okay. When we bring those into the mind, when they bring them into the mind, even though consciously they're rejecting it, that word and visual image is going to go into the subconscious. And this is what happens. The subconscious works about 10 times faster than the conscious. It's constantly working and processing tons of things. What it's trying to do is always keeping the ship afloat, so to speak. So it's always seeking truth. Now, where people are right now is they're trying to stay in this path of a new reality, which they've accepted because they've been overwhelmed with this mimetic warfare that has them agitated with fear that the mind has shifted its reality and said, okay, I'm going to accept this other reality because it's the only way I can keep this body functioning. But on this other side, we need to disrupt that truth. This alternate reality is not in all true. We know that. But if we can strike little seeds, literally sowing seeds with memes within the subconscious, it's a slow process. This is what's been happening and why so many people are, in my opinion, are beginning to wake up, because there has been such an inundation of these subtle, of these seeds that have been planted, that the subconscious now, it's just like putting a stone in your shoe. A small pebble or a small little stone, you know that after a while it's going to rub a sore and it's going to be painful and you're going to eventually have to take your shoe off and face the reality. That's pretty much what a meme does deep in the subconscious. So that's one aspect. But the other aspect of the Trojan horse is one of the most powerful, and it's broken into two parts. One is to hold your line of truth. This is something that was brought to your attention earlier in the week by Dr. Larry Pilevsky. Don't let your truth be compromised by somebody else. If someone says the vax is good, you can say that's not my experience. I see the vax as completely a death jab. And no matter what they say to you, you have to hold that line of truth, not in an insulting way, not in an offensive way, but in a focused way of firmness and solidity within our foundations of faith. But the other aspect of that is asking a question. Once we ask questions, the question itself becomes a Trojan horse. Because what the question does is it forces the infection back into them. Literally, we're talking about this like a virus. And when you stick a question in there to ask them, we've all witnessed this. You ask somebody a question and they're like, well, I just hate it. That'll be some sort of response. That's okay. The question's been planted. And why that's important is, once the question is planted, it can't be taken away. Once the meme is in, it's there to stay. And it is going to stay there for the rest of the time until their subconscious rationalizes it. So keeping that in mind, those are some very effective tools now that we can use in these engagements that we're doing as we move forward to counteract some of this memetic warfare. Memes are a very deep and complex science that has been a critical part of our digital war, and it's one to really understand. We talk about digital warfare in kind of broad brush strokes, but when we get down to the science of memes, which has been the critical focus point of much of the fight, we begin to understand what we're doing. We're literally using the methods that they use against us to counteract their own matrix. The methods that they use to shape the cognitive processes, to keep people enslaved, to keep people willful and compliant to certain agendas that are contrary to common sense, like taking a shot that's going to kill you, taking a shot that's going to kill your child or maim your child, those sorts of dark, draconian things that people accept willfully and blindly because they're locked into these states of fear. Our counter response has to be centered from a positive point. We're using principles like the question, the Trojan horse, both oral and visual combinations, or just strong either way. Faith is a central part of this. We've talked, you know, at length about the importance of prayer. When you're showing your presence of not being unraveled or not being rattled by what they say, not having any variation, deviant from your path, that no matter how hard they come at you, you're calm, you're gracious, you're explaining to them your truth and not giving them any latitude, you're not going to give them any quarter. You're asking them a question that'll pose something to them to consider, and then layer that with, why don't you let me pray for you? Or let's pray together, without being condescending, because they're going to be hypersensitive to condescending, cultural appropriation, racial discrimination, whatever else you want to throw in this mix. Because race is a critical part of this. It's all about division. When we add those things of holding our truth, asking a question for them to reflect on, and then asking if we can pray together, you put those threes together and you become an engine of mimetic destruction. And that's where we need to continue to go, because we need to destroy this. If it takes one by one, we have to destroy this mimetic hold that people have on their heads. We have to free them from this, as many as we can, because the more we do, the more this entire system falls apart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this time we have coming together to face truly where we are, what we have accomplished, and also what lies ahead. Lord, we're blessed with all of the knowledge that you have given to us, the wisdom that you continue to bestow upon us. And now, Lord, we're praying for these in this path ahead, that we can truly walk in such a way to help people see themselves, help people step back from the traps of fear and the traps of ego and these various areas that they're held by this mimetic warfare that's keeping them in place and not allowing them to see the truth that stands before them. Lord, let us find this path that's not attacking, that's not offensive, but is solid in the foundations of our faith and truth. To speak the words that have grace and yet power, that have the compassion yet wield the sword of the Spirit. And in so doing, Lord, to raise people up, to shake them from their slumber, and to show them a way where they can truly find that light that will lead them out of the darkness. And we say these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Patriots, well, I hope that was interesting, because that's a super important part of what we are doing right now. It's huge. So keep your focus. These are great topics to study. It's enough information out there. You continue to research it on your own. Mimetic warfare, the virus of the mind, huge stuff, really good. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into the fight. We have to keep our focus truly on the center point of truth and our faith. That's our rock, our foundation. It's what bridges us and connects us with God. And we know that God is with us. He's never going to forsake us. Our biggest challenge always is to trust in him more than ever, not to doubt, not to separate God from anything we do. In the end, God has got this. He's going to win this, but gloriously and in such an amazing honor that God is working through us right now to raise us up, to face this enemy, and to defeat this enemy through us. So I'll see you tonight for Fishers of Men. Until then, or until the next time, God bless, and out for now.
We shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
Every thoughtful citizen who despairs of war and wishes to bring peace should begin by looking inward, by examining his own attitude towards the possibilities of peace. Too many of us think it is impossible. Too many think it is unreal. But that is a dangerous, defeatist belief. It leads to the conclusion that war is inevitable, that mankind is doomed, that we are gripped by forces we cannot control. We need not accept that view. Our problems are man-made, therefore they can be solved by man, and man can be as big as he wants. No problem of human destiny is beyond human beings. Man's reason and spirit have often solved the seemingly unsolvable, and we believe they can do it again. Surely the opening vistas of space promise high costs and hardships, as well as high reward. So it is not surprising that some would have us stay where we are a little longer, to rest, to wait. But this city of Houston, this state of Texas, this country of the United States was not built by those who waited and rested and wished to look behind them. This country was conquered by those who move forward, and so will space. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept.
The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Thousands of years to show its face. It has only one intent, to destroy God's light and to enslave. It has no scruples. It has no rules but one, to win at any cost. But we will never bow, for we are the remnant that will hold the line. This is war. We fight. We push, we climb, we never give in. We become the nightmare that evil didn't know could exist. We pray, we stand. We live by the words, "In God we trust." We fear nothing. We are the light that can never be extinguished. We are patriots. We are the digital army that will help deliver God's wrath.